Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
In the South, it's always college football season, and the king of college football reigns supreme all year long. Southern Sports Today proudly presents The Chuck Oliver Show. It's an inside look at everything college football. Now live from Atlanta, Georgia, it's time to talk college football with the reigning king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
One ACC program has made a hire worth every bit of our attention. And I will give you his actual duties and responsibilities. Chuck Oliver Show on a Wednesday. If you watch us on Twitch TV from LandryFootball.com, you can actually watch me again. Yesterday, I was at Harris Cherokee up there, Cherokee, North Carolina, and we did not have the video going yesterday. We've done that from Harris plenty, but we just didn't have it going yesterday. Had other things going on, and so I was broadcasting live. We'll be back next month. We go up to Harris, and I'll be there all through the season broadcasting, and we'll do a couple of game days up there on Saturdays as well. So it's going to be a lot of fun, us and Harris, Cherokee, and then also Valley River over in Murphy. So appreciate the Harris folks having us out. Yesterday, though, while I was in North Carolina, phone. Bzz, bzz, bzz. And it was literally that. It was four different people that I know. There are some degree of a Florida State fan, alumni, booster, all kinds of different things. But all four of these individuals have FSU Seminole football close to their heart. And all four of them were asking me, hey, what do you think about hiring Kenyatta Watson? What? FSU has hired Kenyatta Watson as director of player relations. And I got notified by this, again, on my phone. I was busy working. I was getting stuff ready, and then I was doing the show, and then I was getting ready for the All-Star game and all this. So I'm just texting back and forth with people. And I got to tell you, it is as big a deal. Normally, when I will say that fans, and I do it, because I'm a fan of my alma mater, and I'm a fan of a couple of other programs and individual coaches I like and all that. As a fan, short for fanatic, this is not a criticism. I do it, and it's fun. It's part of what makes it fun. Oh, my gosh, did you see what this guy may go here? This coach may get fired. This one may leave his current school. All of, hey, did you see? Like yesterday, Trev Alberts is named Nebraska Athletic Director. And Nebraska ain't much right now, and I don't know how he'll perform in the job, but I can tell you, he was pushing for it, and he loves Nebraska, and he wants to, so, all right, there you go. All right, Nebraska, that's their headline. And I was looking around the rest of the college football world and various other news items from yesterday. And when you're a fan, like a Nebraska fan yesterday, hey, this is awesome stuff. We got somebody who knows the program, gets the culture. Whenever a program's been struggling, if the coach or the AD isn't from there, I don't get the culture. So that's big for them. And in July, if you're a fanatic, you're supposed to be over the topics. Hey, did you see this? And so that's kind of baked into it. There have only been a couple of times when I've had people that I know, just like personal relations, who are also fans of certain teams, like all of them just are bzz, 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 where I have said, oh, crazy fan base. And then later I've had to say, no, y'all are right. Yesterday was one of them because I'm like, dang, Florida State fans, calm down. And I was like, the more I considered it, no, this is a big deal, and I'll get to that in a second. The other time was Georgia fans. I was like, folks, calm down. Laramie Tunsil, how'd he go to Ole Miss? They must be cheating. I'm like, y'all calm down. They didn't cheat. They just got some good recruits. All right, so in 2013, I was wrong, and then yesterday afternoon, I was wrong. because I originally was thinking, well, everybody's getting a director of player relations. And we see LSU when they hired Kevin Falk a couple of years ago before he actually got to the coaching staff. LSU fans, awesome. Somebody that knows the program, gets the culture, liaison with the kids, and then he can be elevated to the coaching staff. And I understood why it was a big deal, but like 80% of it was because I was hearing from LSU fans. And I was like, yeah, Kevin Falk, great choice for it. But it doesn't define or change, or it's not when you're LSU and you're rolling like LSU normally is, it's a nice add-on. And so you get excited about it. When I saw it yesterday, I was like, Kenyatta Watson, Director of Player Relations. All right, that's a nice add-on. But they have so many more bigger fish to fry. This is actually a pretty big fish. And it's important for two reasons. The first is he should be an instant help in Georgia, and particularly in Atlanta when it comes to recruiting. FSU will never, ever beat up Georgia in the 9-county metro or the 11-county metro, whatever it is now. It can't happen. FSU would never be able to come into Atlanta or Georgia and send the Bulldogs running for the hills. It's not going to happen. But you don't have to do that. For an area that is so close to your campus, that is so spilling over with big-time Power 5 game-changing, season-changing, in many cases, recruits, see, the Noles need to be mining like 3 to 5 real players out of the area. When I say real players, like, you know, when Randy Shannon and Al Golden were at Miami, they were still getting Miami players. They weren't getting the real players they wanted. They were getting enough that could say, hey, got a kid from Carroll City. It wasn't actually, you wanted his teammate who went to Alabama. So the Noles need to be getting 3 to 5 real ball players out of the area, and that is job one for Watson. Now, while the nameplate on the desk says Director of Player Relations, I told you that I will give you his actual duties and responsibilities. The real reason for his hire on that front, recruiting-wise, is he's an expert at making the recruiting sausage. Getting things done, connecting A with B, whether that's a coach and a parent, a player in a school, whatever. He makes the recruiting sausage. The other reason this hire is important is it's a real tangible spend, a financial commitment on the part of the athletic department. And I'm going to overstate this. I'm going to use the wrong word a little bit, but I just don't know what the right one is. That not only is a nice outlier. It's been changing, but that's not only a nice outlier, that kind of spend, but it's also, this is the other part of it. You want to get credit. What was it? Was it George on Seinfeld that wanted credit for the tip? Dropped the dollar. He's like, wait a minute. All right, you want to get credit for this if you're FSU. You hire Kenyatta Watson to this post, and everybody knows what he does. He's going straight back to Atlanta and Georgia, and he's going to help with recruiting. It's a very visible step by the athletic department. And it is one that is meant to show all those people I just talked about, donors and ticket buyers and alumni and all. It's a new day in Tallahassee, accounting ledger-wise. So most often, and like I do this sometimes. I remember way back in the day, about 15 years ago. Actually, no, I can tell you exactly when it was 13 years ago. When Tuberville was getting fired. I'm texting around. Me, I'm in the media. And I'm texting Tony Barnhart. Hey, man, hearing anything? Yesterday, I'm on the receiving end of it. And like normally, I'm like, this is awesome. We're excited because we're fans. But it's not that big a deal. I'll give FSU fans credit. And oh, by the way, that was just to my phone because not everybody listening, you don't have my personal cell phone number, so you can't text me. My Twitter feed, KingCFB, and also Chuck Oliver Show. There were, hey man, what do you think about the hire? Can't wait to the show tomorrow. Want to hear what you think about Kenyatta Watson. I was like, okay. So it's not just the four crazies in my cell phone. It is the general FSU fan base craziness. And in this case, and Georgia's fans back in February 13, y'all are 100% right. This is every bit as big a deal as you were making it. What do you get when you head to Harris Cherokee Casinos in North Carolina? You get blackjack, craps, roulette, slots, great restaurants, golf, a spa, all of it. And yesterday you got me. That's right, Harris Cherokee Casino and Resort in Cherokee, North Carolina is broadcasting again live from the awesome new sportsbook right on the casino floor, live collegiate and pro sports wagering, and it does not end when the last hoops or baseball game is over. Folks, I told you, restaurants, golf, the pool, tremendous accommodations. Yeah, Harris Cherokee, I'm a huge Harris fan. Love what you do, and I'll be going back. That's right, in August, September, all through the football season, you'll be seeing me right back up there. Harris Cherokee in Cherokee, North Carolina. Harris Valley River over in Murphy. Broadcasting all season long, live from the book. Visit HarrisCherokee.com to plan your getaway today.
Must be 21 years of age or older to enter the casino floor and to gamble, and must present a valid state or federal photo ID upon request. Know when to stop before you start. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700. An enterprise of the Eastern Band of Cherokee Indians.
To Southern Sports Today and the Chuck Oliver Show.
I'm not penciling A&M in to go to a playoff and to win the SEC necessarily, because I think Georgia's maybe a notch above that this year. But I do think that it's an exciting place to be for A&M, and to know that that's at least out there and that's not a pipe dream. You don't feel like every season is going to fall apart in November. This is a good time to be an Aggie, and I think it's one that A&M fans should embrace.
Guerra, Saturday Down South on the podcast, and he's talking about Texas A&M and where they are right now. It's where they're supposed to be. You break off $75 million? What was that? 17 season was in the 18, 19, 20. So 3 seasons into a 10-year deal, $75 million, and they actually walked away with the coach that Florida State got him. They won the prize. They made him the coach in waiting with the $5 million kicker. If Bobby didn't retire and Jimbo get the job. So Florida State got him, and then nobody got him. LSU didn't get him. Texas didn't get him. Auburn didn't get him. Whoever was looking for a coach didn't get him. And then the Aggies got him. Now, it is more than just, hey, we got $75 million guaranteed dollars. That's part of it, and that'll rule the day. And there is a chance that if Oregon State showed up with $75 million, that big G next to it, maybe he'd be wearing orange and black and coaching the Beavers. But $75 million means you're taking the conversation no matter who it is. If we were just talking about normal head coaching money, and Jimbo, we're halfway, two-thirds, seven-eighths of the way through the 2017 season. He's looking around Tallahassee thinking, I hate being here. I almost went into a Jimbo voice there, but I pulled the plug as soon as I was starting. I don't want to be here anymore. The administration this and the facilities that. And I've been told the facilities, that's an overblown thing by people who want something to criticize, that they can always go to the facilities, but it's not really how it's presented. But in 2017, it was more of that. And so he just had a long laundry list of reasons that he didn't want to be there. And so if he was going to be somewhere else, all right, well, what's the best deal for me? And remember, he had the family situation and his son. It was like a little bit overlap with Peterson at Boise with the medical concerns, and you already got your doctors in place. And, I mean, that rules the roost for so many folks. And I mean, like, literally folks, parents. You wake up in the morning and you're sick, drink some orange juice, go to work. You got a six-year-old? They're going to the doctor, all right? That's just what you do. And so that's going to take precedence, even for a guy like Jimbo, even for a guy like Chris Peterson. And then you work to if the situation works around to a spot where it just is not going to last. All right, well, where is the best place for me? Like I said, $75 million, you're taking the call no matter who it is. And maybe you're taking the job. But when you throw in, it is a heritage program, and the monster in state, the Longhorns, they ain't really the Longhorns right now. And they weren't in 17. They're still not. That's 2 coaches ago, isn't it? That was the end of Charlie Strong, 18-19 Herman. So that's three coaches since they were playing footsie with Jimbo. And he's like, well, recruiting this, and they just tore down 90% of Kyle Field and rebuilt it. Now they got a sushi concession stand and wider concourses and more bathrooms and a video board, and you got all this stuff. Yeah, I'll go there. So the math equation of the program plus the recruiting plus no taxes in state plus, see, that sealed the deal. $75 million got you the conversation. Gridiron Now, my good friend Chad Scott. Do you know who their first hire, their first like external hire after they set the organization? You know who it was? It was Tony Barnhart. He said, that gets you the conversation. Hey, I'm Tony Barnhart from Gridiron Now. Oh, okay. Get you the conversation. You got to have that at some point. $75 million to get you the conversation. A&M had enough to follow through on it. And so while I agree with Connor, to this point I will say, this is just Jimbo acting on cue. He's done a really, really, really good job. Do you know what I've always said, the unintentional is the most revealing. Do you know what the most revealing comment about where Jimbo has the program is? Do you know where it is right now? Do you know what the most revealing comment is? They just lost four behemoths, grown men, seniors off the offensive line who had played a lot of football for A&M. That's kind of the next. That's the attitude. Four seniors who had started. This guy started 41 games. That guy started 37. That guy had, I don't know, the four guys, they probably had 130 starts between them. I'm guessing. All four of them gone. Jimbo, the other people who cover the team, the one guy who's coming back, Kenya, they're all like, we're good. We'll be okay. That's only through recruiting. They augmented it with the portal kid from Tennessee, but coming to play tackle. But other than that, they're like, no, we planned for this. We're good. There's your comment on where they are. So I agree with Connor, but at this point, it's three seasons in, and I say that Jimbo is only acting on cue to this point. This is how it is supposed to have gone. And there is a next level that it's supposed to go to, according to A&M, the people who offered the contract beginning year, I don't know, 4, 5, 6. Yeah, there's a next level. Dan, what's up?
No, I mean, because it all comes down to give the middle finger to Austin. I mean, that's what it is they've gotten a national title before we have, and it's been everything that you just mentioned right there in College Station. We got the facilities, we got the stadium, we got the heritage. Why haven't we gotten the wins? And that's been the question for the longest time. By the way, 26-10 during his 3 years at Texas A&M, so 2.6 wins per million per season for Jimbo Fisher. So that's what you get to this point. You know, I really got to thinking about what I was going to talk about today, and it came to me during a drive-in for the show today. And that is, have we noticed that there is kind of a pattern of it comes in threes in college football? And here's what I mean. Let's take LSU, for example. 2018 season, you get Joe Burrow to come in there and you see the offense and, what are we doing? We're throwing the football down the field. We don't do that around here. And we're actually completing these passes. We're actually putting up numbers. Let's see what happens next year. Remember, at the Manning Passing Academy, people laughed at him when he said, yeah, our offense is going to be something to behold this year. Oh, okay, Joe, we've heard that before. We heard that a couple of years ago with that Canada guy. Let's see if it really comes through. And it did. And off of that right there, it started to build cachet and some clout with recruits out there, especially at the position they weren't being able to get. There is no chance right now that a Danny Etling ever starts at LSU now, or really in the even near future, that is the case. You're going after 4 and 5 stars. That's the start for you now at LSU. And then it becomes year three where you're showing guys like Garrett Dellinger and others, yeah, this is the norm here now. This is what we're going to do. If you want to be able to change the culture, as you talked about, in terms of being able to show what you can do on offense, you got to be able to do it within 3 years.
Always college football time in the South. Now back to more of the king of college football, Chuck Oliver, on Southern Sports Today.
It's a Wednesday on the Chuck Oliver Show, and that means Chris Landry is here directly from LandryFootball.com. I tell you, one of the great things about doing sports talk radio, specifically college football, for so long is I have been able to funnel down to just what I know by now what works. And I've told you, I pay for two places. The Athletic, it's good stuff, and that is a smattering of – and that's opinion pieces and deep dives and long-form essays and such. That's prose. And then there's LandryFootball.com, which is like you jumped into a college football pinball machine. I mean, it's all happening there when you go to LandryFootball.com. I want to welcome on the namesake now. Chris, how are you today?
Chuck, doing well, man. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Tell everybody exactly what they get. And it's year-round, man, 365, even 366 one year, around the clock on around the year at LandryFootball.com.
Yeah, it really is. We work at football all year round. There's no off season. There's the playing season, the recruiting season, the draft season. We call it the scouting season, all of that in one. And this time of year, it's getting ready for the season. It's roster analysis. The transfer portal in college has made the quote-unquote off season a lot different than it used to be, as you well know. And then the recruiting early signing day where you got two classes, three classes being recruited at the same time, makes it a very challenging but fun endeavor to cover all the information. But we really at the heart of what we do is, yeah, try to provide inside information, but to provide a scouting and coaching analysis on the college and NFL game on players, teams, coaches, schemes, to help you understand the game better. It's like having your own scouting department for less than a magazine subscription, coaching department to where you can ask questions, you can get to maybe understand things, the whys. It's always understanding why. Everybody knows what happened. Why does it happen? Why does these things take place with a certain team, a certain player, a certain coach? The numbers say one thing. Understand why the numbers say a certain things. All of those things we try to provide for you at LandryFootball.com, and we're really thrilled about the fact that the countdown is on to the season.
Yeah, it really is. And one thing we've been doing is going through football terms each week, getting started with this. And it's kind of like I've been just going through a typical play in my mind, and we started with stem the route, and then the cornerback staying in phase, and then the quarterback having to go through his progressions. Well, if the either there's a coverage issue or the protection breaks down, he may have to climb the pocket. When I hear Gary Danielson say climb the pocket, what's he talking about?
Well, this is pretty easy. I think most folks can kind of get a feel for it. As you set the pocket, the one thing that when you truly set a pocket that maybe people overlook is the offensive lineman or protecting a pocket, creating a pocket for where the quarterback's going to be. It's going to be a five-step drop, a seven-step drop. So it's important that the quarterback is in the right place, that he starts in the right place, then climbs up. Because if you're building a pocket, you need to stay within that pocket. You can't be like, and the worst I've ever seen is Jeff George, where he was immensely talented but was hard-headed and could be a beyond a knucklehead at some point, he would drift right where the offensive linemen were blocking the defensive linemen. Well, the offensive lineman is designed to block it a certain way. You don't run right where the pass rush is going to come after where they're blocking them.
I want to interject, and that's the best way to make your offensive tackle hate your guts.
Sure, absolutely, and it – you know, well, they gave up a sack. No, they didn't. Now, the quarterback gave up the sack. He ran right into the pressure. So climbing the pocket is stepping up into the pocket because you've created a pocket outside. And it, think of a big U, and you step up in it. You climb it in, climb up in the pocket to where you it's protected. You've got to have good protection by your guards and center so that you don't get good inside penetration. Which is, by the way, when we say you're going to climb the pocket, we always talk defensively about what? Pushing the pocket?
Yep.
You're pushing the pocket, so when you climb it, you got not a lot of room, and so it makes it very uncomfortable. You climb the pocket to buy time as opposed to rolling out, and it depends. In today's game, with quarterbacks having more mobility, Sometimes you have design rollouts. Well, that's not a pocket protection. That's a different protection. So the big key is the quarterback climbing it, staying in the right position. Don't drift. Don't drift a little bit too right or too left. It's a problem. It's just like, I'm going to be honest with you, just to throw in an extra one, this is one no one thinks about. One of the things when grading punters, people look at leg strength and hang time, you know.
Catch it and punt it. That's what I need. I need, how many steps are you taking? Like a half of one step and you, all right, you're my punter.
And you can't drift. The punters that get blocked the most, they drift. They don't have great hands. They double catch it, or they drift. They just take a slight step to the right.
Yep.
Well, you can't do that. Everything is blocked from a timing standpoint to be on a straight line, come in, get it on no more than two and a half steps, and get it out. But if you drift it, you may be able to get it off in two steps and block it right into where they're pushing the rush guy. So the same concept is there. Climbing the pocket is the same idea. Come up in the pocket, step up in the pocket. That gives you a little extra time because the protection is designed to go wide, to go by you.
Absolutely. And that's why I've always said a defensive, an interior guy knows especially who can kind of collapse the pocket, a guy who can legit pass the, rush the quarterback. That is one of the most valuable things because it makes the quarterback, it works against his instincts. He's always been told, don't drift, step up in the pocket, and you may step right up into Ndamukong Suh or Aaron Donald, et cetera. So,
absolutely. You're not going to pressure Tom Brady from the wide. The way you get pressure on him is in the middle because he's not running wide. He's stepping up. Now, that's also why you have a great athlete at quarterback, a Patrick Mahomes or someone. Pressure in the interior just forces him out, and sometimes he does his best work there. So you got to know the quarterback and know what you can do, what you can't do against him.
Let's jump onto the field, at least in some ways, because I was kind of taken a couple of days back on Monday, I believe, Monday afternoon, Florida State announced who they were taking to ACC Media Days, their version of Media Days up in Charlotte. And they're taking Jermaine Johnson, who's never played a snap for the school, but that's not unusual anymore. And I mentioned, you know, Trevor Knight, Kevin Sumlin did it, and it was weird. Now it's just normal. They're also bringing both quarterbacks. And I don't remember anybody doing that before, and I saw Broncos going to do that at Virginia as well. Talk about that dynamic, because I think it's an interesting use of media days, because most coaches are like, well, I'm just going to bring some seniors or my best players or whatever. Most coaches, I believe, would go the other way, not bring either of them. I credit Norvell. He's going to throw them into the fire.
Yeah, I think there are different ways to approach it. And to be honest with you, this is one where I think the modern-day media relations folks, good ones, coaches that utilize the media well and can strategically bring players for a certain reason. Why do you do it? It depends on your team. If you don't, if you've got an established quarterback, I would imagine North Carolina is not bringing, if they're going to bring a quarterback, it's probably going to be Sam Howell, probably not somebody else.
Yep.
But if it's competition and people want to talk to the quarterback, you don't want to tip your hand. You want to give them both experience, you know, play it out that you're both going to get a chance. We're both bringing you there. Fine, do it. It may be just getting somebody a little bit more comfortable with the media, or it may be, look, this guy really doesn't like that limelight. He can deal with the local media on campus, but he doesn't really want to do it. I think those things are done in a very individualistic way, and I wouldn't read too much into it because I think everyone is going to do things that are going to fit their team and their roster and what they're trying to get done. So I think it's interesting, but not real telling.
Yeah, and there's a as we get further and further away from, I can't even say spring practice, the first like couple of weeks, few weeks of spring practice into the later stages of it, and then certainly the game. Since we have moved further away from even that, I have not found anyone's opinion rising on Jordan Travis. I've seen the exact opposite on Mackenzie Milton. Like, as we get closer to the season and further from the early parts of spring, his stock is through the roof, man. I can't find anybody expecting him to be anything other than the starting quarterback.
Yeah, and I'm wondering, again, if this is something that they're saying, you know, all right, because of McKenzie's background and his spotlight, people are expecting a certain thing. Maybe this is a, I don't know, a disrespect, or, you know, we're committed to him more than you, and maybe this is one of those cop-out things where you say, we'll bring you both. I think it's maybe something like that, because I think we all know what McKenzie can do from a leadership standpoint, and we just hope and pray that he can stay healthy. That's been the biggest issue. And if he can't, well, then the number one quarterback is your backup, as you know, one snap away. So I'm assuming it has something to do with that, but I haven't given it a whole lot of thought, quite frankly.
Yeah, and can I throw out the sinister, not sinister, maybe it's the just uber-realistic modern-day head coach mindset. Like, Coach Ogeron, you talk about LSU, and part of every conversation is, well, when he names Max Johnson the starter, Miles Brennan could be out of there, and you don't want to end
the
season. Okay, if you're going to start Mackenzie Milton, and you already know that, but you take Jordan Travis to media days anyway, isn't that a way to say, hey, son, no matter who we announce as the starter, both of y'all are in our plans. We even took you to media days. There is a chance this is the $10 bill on the fishing line.
Boy, that's a great point, and I have thought a lot about how guys say things in the media with regard to the quarterback position in particular, because that's the one where if you don't start, you're leaving. I think that's a great point you just mentioned, because bringing them to media day is like a way of saying you're a really big part of our future, short-term and long-term, and let's just call it like it is. In terms of their future, Florida State's not going to win a lot of games this year. Their future is not Mackenzie Milton. Their future is the guy they've put some time into that they're probably bringing to media day. And as much as anything, it's probably to appease him. And then you're right. I think even if you quote unquote win the job decisively, you may not announce it until later, maybe to your team. They may know things, but publicly you may not announce it till later, because you don't want to discourage the quarterback or give him a chance to pick up and leave in today's transfer portal world.
Chris Landry, this is what you're going to get, folks. Every single day, year-round, he, his staff, it is firsthand, straight from a guy who's done everything you can with a college program, a pro franchise, the league, you name it. We're going to take a break, come back, continue with Chris Landry on this Wednesday.
Chuck Oliver Show on Southern Sports Today.
All week, all year, it's all college football on the Chuck Oliver Show, continuing with Chris Landry from LandryFootball.com. Chris, let's stay in the ACC, and we have talked about the NC State program before, and as we are entering, you know, getting close to fall camp and all that, talk about this year's team, because I know they've got experience coming back at quarterback with Dave Doran. I always expect him to be tough on the lines of scrimmage, both of them. And it seems to a degree he has kind of, you know, he'd kind of looked at the state of North Carolina recruiting wise and was like, okay, I'll take this. And then Mac showed up. He seems to have weathered that a little bit. Just give us a flyover of what's possible in Raleigh.
You know, I think with you know, we've talked about it before, overall as a league, there's room to make noise there. And I think that if you're looking at the Atlantic, and we'll stay there, and, you know, specifically is who's the second best team in that division. And, you know, it's not Florida State yet. Louisville's not there. Syracuse is at the bottom, and BC's good, and Wake is – NC State certainly has more things going for it and should be the second best. So we start there. I'd like to see a little bit more consistency within the program. I think they are physical. I think at times when I watch them on tape, I see a very impressive-looking team and program and think, man, they're on to something based on that. And then they have that game where they don't match up very well. They don't adjust very well. I think they've got some really good talent. I really do. And I think that they've got one of the more underrated running backs in the country in Knight. And I think they've got a really good tackle in particular. And I think they've got as good of a dual set of linebackers as you're going to see in the league in the ACC. So I think good things. I think that they're definitely a top four-ish, five-ish type team in the conference. I would put them right in and put them under North Carolina, but I'd put them right in the mix with Miami as teams that are talented, that are good. Miami has a little bit more speed. NC State's a little bit more physical, but neither one of them are consistent. So how's that? I would say race for third, best overall program going in is NC State, Miami, our best teams this year, I should say.
All right, I was asking you about the Florida State quarterbacks and one separating and how that may play out. I'm starting to get a similar feel. I said, you know, I can't talk to anybody who has a different opinion about what's going on with Travis and Mackenzie Milton. Same thing coming out of Knoxville. Everybody who should have some sort of insight is dropping a little Joe Milton breadcrumb for me, a little mustard seed. And I think that that guy, when he announced his transfer, I was like, dude, that's Hendon Hooker's job, and spring practice has already started. Joe Milton's a real possibility, isn't he?
I guess he is. I mean, he's definitely a possibility. I'm not ready to – I mean, and look, a possibility is just that, a possibility. I am a wait and see for the reasons that you mentioned. Physical kid, got some ability to throw it. Here's the key, and everybody talks, well, that's what they're going to do. They're going to throw it. They're going to be Temple. They want that quarterback great arm. What they want is the quarterback that can throw it accurately, get the ball out on time, make good reads. Who's going to be the best guy doing that? That's going to be determined, in my view, that's going to be determined in summer practice, you know, before the season. Mm-hmm. So I think Milton is in it. You know, I don't know that I would just say I feel really good about it's this guy or that guy. I think it's obviously between the two. I think Joe has as good a chance as anybody. He's a young guy, again, with a lot of talent, big arm. If he's able to – if it's close, it's probably Milton. Is it going to be close in terms of decision-making? Physically, you could put Milton in and say he's definitely close, if not better, than Hooker. But I think you've got to get a better sense of decision making and accuracy, getting the ball out on time, because that's everything. And this whole season is going to depend on their ability to work tempo and make quick decisions at the line of scrimmage, because they are going to be bad on defense, and there's not many wins on their schedule. And I still think that fan base, and I know this is maybe going off a little bit, but I want to throw it up there, is there's a lot of their fans. They're going to do this or that. They are not very good, and they are a bad-looking roster. I mean, it's not Vanderbilt bad. It's not quite South Carolina bad, but it's in the same – they are one of the three worst-looking rosters in the SEC, and they're going to have to pull upsets to beat, you know, people like Kentucky. I mean, there's not many teams on their schedule that they're better than. They really are not, and I just don't think that people are expecting that, oh, it was a dysfunction last year. It was. They're going to turn around, and what bowl game we're going to go to. I don't think getting the six wins is going to be awfully tough.
Lexington was where I was heading next, and I've had all kinds of folks up there. No, man, it's going to be great. We're going to be running around. It's going to be some spread elements. We're going to be in the shotgun some. I'm like, that's just a formation. I need to see what the offense is, and I need to see it before I believe it. Tell me how different you think that thing's going to look up there on offense.
Well, you know, I think that the one thing that we're going to see, they need more playmakers. So, they need more playmaking at quarterback, and they need more playmakers at receiver. So, I still think until they can prove that they have that, they're going to rely on what's really good. They can run the football. They've got a great back. They may have the best starting duo of tackles in the league. It's still a developmental program, but they've got to get more. I mean, to what they can do with their offense depends on quarterback play, and the quarterback play has been protecting the football, managing things, getting into the right play, getting out of a bad play. When they can become more of a playmaking offense, then they can do more things. But I don't know that they're there yet. I still think they win with how they win. And I don't know that we're going to see, you know, anything different than a smart, disciplined program with a very good defense. They're the best defense in forcing turnovers in the SEC last year and top 10 nationally. They're just not, you know, they had the slowest snap rate in the SEC.
Oh, they play to the talent, man. They play to their style. They
absolutely do. And the third slowest in the country. So what does that mean? I mean, they wait when the up-tempo, the slowest is the third slowest is Kentucky in the country. They average over 30 seconds between snaps. So anything other than that, I just don't know. I mean, I don't know that they'll do that. I think Liam Cohen coming in is certainly somebody that's going to want to it's going to be less between the tackles. Yep. But I don't, you know, I think we'll see more outside zone with what they do, but I still think they're going to run it, and I think they're going to have to find playmakers before they're comfortable throwing the football more than they have been.
Yeah, you are what you are, and with Chris Rodriguez, I'm voting for him for first team, most likely, on my preseason ballot. I mean, it's you know, you kind of are what you are, and when you have recruited and trained, et cetera, and practiced and played to a certain style, it's hard to go fruit basket turnover in one offseason, that's for sure. Chris, love every Wednesday when you come on, giving us both those segments. We will do it again in 7 days, man.
Look forward to it, buddy. Thank you so much.
All right, Chris Landry again, LandryFootball.com. And, you know, when I said there, I just kind of blurted out that, hey, we're going to line up in the shotgun. I was like, that's a formation. What are you going to run? Hey, we're going to line up in the spread. Yeah, that you're going to line up in the – what are you going to run? And it is about talent and fit and play calling and all of that coming together. And I know that there's a want and there may be even an attempt. I want to see how it plays out.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
The Fan is ready for Brave season. Are you?
3-1 smoked high in the air, deep center field, and heading for the horizon. A home run by Olsen.
We're streaming every game of the Braves 2024 season free on the 680 The Fan app.
So make sure you download it now and don't miss a pitch of the Braves this season.